And lucky for me, at work, I've got like a really great team. I got good guys. They come to work, you know, most time they come to work every day, and they work hard, and I know I can count them, get the job done. They really are a good group. But even in the best groups, every now and then, you know, someone gets a little sideways, right? Things go a little off. And we had one guy there, and he was in a position that I was counting on him. It was a job that only he could do. And he wasn't real happy about the situation, I guess. Someone came to me and said, you know, Joe, so-and-so's, they're not real happy. They're kind of upset. And you got this big job they got to do, and they know it. And they say they're going to call in sick the next day. And I'm like, this is a big shutdown. This is our big time at work where everything's got to get done. We got this huge plan. Everything's riding on this one key thing getting done. And this guy's going to do that? And I'm mad like this. I'm angry. Really, just be honest. I'm angry at this person. It was towards the end of the day, and I'm thinking, well, you know, we got plenty of things I had to do get done. I just kind of roll with it. So I was just letting this kind of fester and stew in my heart and in my mind a little bit. And I'm driving home, and you guys have probably been there, right? I'm just in my mind, basically, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, and maybe in a worse sense, maybe plotting my revenge. I don't know. I got the white knuckles. I'm just driving, you know. I'm aggravated. And I'm thinking about everything everybody else did all week, all the work everybody put into making this happen, all the stuff that the sacrifices guys made, and all the planning went into this, and this one guy going to do this. I'm getting more and more angry. I'm thinking about it. I think about all the things we got to do. And that's when it happened. I start thinking about, I got to go preach a sermon. What was that sermon about? What was it Paul wanted me to preach about? Oh, yeah, the Sermon on the Mount. What am I going to preach about the Sermon on the Mount? Oh. Yeah, it was Matthew 5. 21 through 26. It says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until the last penny's been paid, or till you paid the last penny. Had one of them moments. It was kind of like, oh. Yeah, imagine like Jesus is up there, like he's like, are you done yet? You're going off on this tangent, you know. That's kind of how he works. He works that way, you know. He's giving me the sermon just to preach. At the same time, he's kind of correcting me, like, hey, you know, you got to get this straightened out. You can't be doing this. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm being kind of embarrassed getting up here and like sharing this in front of like all you guys. You know what? You know, thinking, man, Pastor Joe gets angry. Some of you are thinking, yeah, Pastor Joe gets angry all the time. But no, I would be embarrassed right now, but I know this is a place where you've all probably been before too. Right? We've all done this. Something happens, something plays out, some situation, and we get this scenario, we run it through in our minds, we think we know, we start thinking about what's going to happen next? And we start making assumptions. We start assuming that we know what other people are thinking. We start assuming that we know what other people are feeling. And then we start assuming that we know what's going to happen next. And our imagination kicks in, and we start thinking about what we're going to do about it. And while we do this, inside of us is this, maybe this rage starts to build up. Maybe some anger. And eventually this turns into hatred. It's in our hearts, it's in our minds. I don't think this is something strange that only I experience. I think this is something we all experience from time to time. Like Paul's been teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he's been preaching so far, and he's telling us, you know, he's talking about this, you know, here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us what it means to be right with God and right with our neighbors. Not just acting right with God, not just acting right with our neighbors, but being right with God and being right with our neighbors. What does it mean? He's not just giving us a lot of rules and a lot of lines not to cross. He takes us to a whole other level. He takes us to a heart level. And I kind of think in this particular passage, I think he's kind of sharing that little bit of that Barney Fife wisdom with us a little bit. He's saying that people are difficult. He knows, Jesus knew this. I mean, think about it. He knew us all the way back then, so he knows people are difficult, right? I believe what he's saying in this particular verse, he's saying, look, when you're being tempted to hate somebody, what's Barney always say? Nip it in the bud, right? Nip it in the bud. You see, if you have a problem or you suspect a problem, communicate it. He doesn't say communicate it on Facebook. He doesn't say communicate it with everybody else, but not that person. He's saying try to seek understanding. Bring things into the light. Open your ears, open your mind, and start talking to the other person. And you know, if someone has a problem with you, or you suspect it, do them the favor and talk to them. Listen to the other person, sincerely trying to understand them. A little humility will go a really long ways towards understanding. I don't, it's kind of interesting to me because, like, I never talked to Steve about this stuff, but it seems like we go right down the same road sometimes. It's Sunday school and the sermon. That's why I'm sitting there like thinking, I'm going to be quiet now. I'm going to have the whole sermon out before I even get up here to preach today. But you see, there's a huge difference between listening to people and just waiting for our turn to talk, isn't there? Have you ever tried to explain to someone who's not listening to you? It's frustrating, isn't it? So the right thing to do would be to give other people the attention that you'd like to receive. To give other people the respect that you would want to receive, right? Jesus says, love your enemies. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Listening can be a really good way to do that. How many arguments and disagreements have you guys been in? I know I've been in a lot of them where they weren't really disagreements at all, were they? How many times were they more accurately just misunderstandings? How many times have you been in an argument with someone and about in little ways into the argument you realize you're both saying the same thing, you're just saying it in different ways? But at the same time, I cannot count how many times I've seen families and I've seen friendships torn apart for years and even decades because two people just refuse to speak to one another. Jesus said, your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Why would you be handed over to the officer? Why would you be thrown into prison? Because you may be wrong. It's not an impossibility, is it? We've all been wrong. It happens. But you may never know, or you may, more accurately, you may never know until it's too late if you don't talk to the other person, if you don't try to understand what the other person is trying to tell you, if we don't start communicating. Jesus, in a lot of ways, was the very embodiment of this idea. The word says that when we were still enemies to God, he sent his son. Now, God could have just got angry, right? He could have said, now look, you guys, I gave you Moses, I gave you the prophets, you guys still think you're so right? I am done with you. That's not the route he took, was it? When everything else failed, he humbled himself to the point where he became a human being. He became a baby. And he did that just to communicate the truth with us. Not only, but one of the reasons, to teach us. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't, he didn't stop there with this, with the hatred thing. If he's on your toes with that one, he pushes the line even farther. He gets on your whole foot, right? In Matthew 27 through 30 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to lose one part of your body than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better if you lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. And there's a lot of lessons, a lot of places we could go here. And all these are places that we probably need to go with what he's saying there. But the direction that I want to go this morning is I want to compare this with what he just said before. By hatred, about sin. And I want you to think of sin kind of like a mushroom. I want you to think of sin, think of it kind of like a fungus, like a real nasty fungus, right? It grows best in the dark. It likes secrets. It likes to be hidden in the dark corners of our hearts. It just takes a glance and it's planted. Just like a mushroom, when you get the little spores, they say that go around, you can't see them, they're tiny. It just takes the littlest thing. Just the littlest thing. And it's planted in there. And if we try to keep it, if we try to maybe hide it, if we try to cover it up, it loves it. That's what it loves. That's what it likes. That's what makes it grow. That's what makes it thrive in our life. So why did I lead with this card about me being angry today, right? Why did I start there this morning? I didn't have to tell anyone about that. I could have just been me on my ride home. I could have learned my lesson and just been done with it. It entered my mind that you guys might think, man, I don't know about Pastor Joe anymore if he shares something like that. But we need to be willing to bring our struggles into the light. Because not only does it help us, but it helps other people too. Our enemy is always whispering in our ears. If the rest of the people know what you're really like, they're going to judge you. They're going to put you down. You know, there may be a few people that are immature in their faith that may do that. But most people aren't. Most people are either going to say, thank you for sharing, because I've been struggling with the same thing in my life. I just been too afraid to really talk about it. Thank you. And other people are going to say, you know what? I have struggled with that in the past. Let me help you. Bringing our sin into the light, it squashes it. It renders it powerless. It doesn't hold us hostage anymore. You see, our imaginations, right, they're powerful tools. And just like any powerful tool, they can be used for good things, they can be used for bad things, right? Whenever I think of it, like an analogy, how this works, I always think back about when they had them riots and stuff, and people were throwing bricks, remember that? They were throwing bricks at stuff and things, and I thought, and someone said, well, they might have put the bricks out there just to get people to throw them. And I thought, what would they have did if they'd have went and built a house for a homeless person with those bricks instead of throwing them? They were just bricks, right? Tools can be used for all kinds of good things, bad things. Our imaginations are no different. They're powerful tools. They can be used for good stuff. They can be used for bad stuff. It's kind of like the internet. Powerful tool. It could be used for good, it could be used for bad. You can study things, you study your Bible in ways that, you know, so much more quickly now with the internet. There's tools you can use. It's great tools. You can help somebody out on the other side of the planet at the speed of light. It's an awesome tool. It's amazing. But it's equally destructive. It can be used to poison your mind. Poison your heart. It can fill you with anger. It can fill you with hate. It can fill you with lust. Just like your imagination can. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We can't be slaves to our imagination. Our imagination needs to be a slave to Christ. Well, that's pretty easy to say, but how do I do that, right? Kind of a captain obvious kind of thing, right? Well, let me ask you a question, you guys. And these are some questions, easy questions. I want you guys to answer out loud. If you plant corn, what do you get? If you plant soybeans, what do you get? If you plant grass, what do you get? If you plant nothing, what do you get? Weeds. Right? You get weeds. If you plant nothing, the weeds grow. If we plant good things in our heart every day, we don't have the room for bad things to grow. It's like Mario talked about, reading your Bible every day, praying every day. These are ways that we plant good things in our heart. If you keep your heart full, that stuff don't get a chance to get in there. You'll get the weeds. I was reading something the other day, and I thought it's just kind of a handy way of looking at things. Can you guys experiment, I guess? If you already do more than this, don't stop doing what you're doing, right? This is not an excuse to do less. This is to get somebody started if they're not doing anything. So every day when you start your day, this is called the 5-5-10 method. Right? So it's a legitimate thing, all right? I didn't just make it up. Every morning when you get up, pray for 5 minutes. It'll go fast. It'll go real fast. Read your Bible for 5 minutes. If you're done praying 5 minutes, read your Bible 5 minutes. Maybe a chapter. Maybe somebody like, I can read 2 chapters. I don't know. I'm a pretty slow reader. But 5 minutes. Then take the next 10 minutes reflecting on what you prayed about and what you read about. 5-5-10. Takes 20 minutes a day. If we don't take our thoughts captive, if we don't get a hold of them and lead them where they need to go, we'll become captive to them. If we don't plant good things, bad things grow. So I got 3 things I want you guys to take with you today. First one's just that. Don't plant good things, bad things are going to grow. Right? You'll get bad things if you plant nothing. Second thing, if things do start growing, nip them in the bud. Don't wait. Don't wait till they're big and are out of hand. Get them into the light. Get them taken care of. The third thing is, if you take the bad things, if you hide them deep in your heart, if you don't deal with them, they're going to grow. Really pretty simple stuff. 3 things. Paul says in Galatians 6:7-8, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So what happened at work? After I kind of got my tune up on the way home, right? I don't know if I'm getting too close to a microphone making that noise, but I just laid it down. All right, God, you got this. If it's going to be a problem, it's your problem. I'm done. I'm just going to drop this. It's obviously more than I'm going to be able to handle. So I dropped it. I got to work the next day, and that guy was there. You know what it amounted to? It amounted to nothing. There was nothing there. All that was smoke and mirrors that the enemy was using for his purposes, right? Just an illusion. So many times, that's all it is. And to make matters even more interesting, the same guy who came up to me and told me this stuff that tipped me off on what was going to happen, right? He had all the answers. He came up to me again that next day and he tells me something else that somebody else is going to do. I said, just stop right now. Just stop, all right? I'm not going to waste another perfectly good car ride home being mad about something that ain't even going to happen. So many times, that's the way it is. You see, just like old Barney up there on the video, when we get hatefulness in our heart, and we let that get a hold of us, We're not throwing that other person in prison. I was just putting myself in prison. That's all I was doing. I was ruining my day. That's probably going to ruin Carrie's day, right? Because I'm going to come home, I'm going to be mad. She'd be like, oh, here he is. He's mad again. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's all we do. That bitterness is only destroying us. It's not destroying the other person. It's not worth hanging on to. It's not worth having. We need to let that stuff go. It's all it's doing is slowing us down. We got big work to do. The kingdom of God, right? We've been called to spread that to the ends of the earth. We got so many people to talk to. So many people to share Jesus with, to share Jesus' love with, right? Amy brought up a great point today, and I loved it. You know, sometimes we think about we got to get with these people, we got to argue with them, we got to reason with them, get them into heaven, you know. No. So many times all we got to do is just show them some love, right? Yeah, they might be completely wrong. But it doesn't mean we don't love them, right? It doesn't mean we don't be kind to them. That's sowing seeds. We got so much work to do. We don't have the time to waste being angry, being mad, hateful. We've been called for a purpose. This church has a purpose. Every person here has a purpose. We got to fulfill that purpose. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for this church, for this group. Lord, you know they're a great group. Lord, you know their hearts. And I just pray that you would continue to work through them to spread your kingdom. Lord, if there's sin that comes into their life, Lord, bring it to light. Bring it to light, Lord, and help them know what to do with it. Help us to help each other through our hard times. Lord, help us to encourage one another, lift each other up. Lord, help us to be a glimpse of your kingdom to come. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.